Let us love one another, that with one accord we may confess.
Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shopping.
Thank you. I hear a lot of kid sounds this morning. No, I was waiting for that right after I say that for a meep to take place, but they don't do it on cue, do they? But it reminds me of the old saying, if you don't hear crying, the church is dying. You know that saying? If you don't hear crying, the church is dying. And so it's good for us to hear kid sounds, little baby sounds and kid sounds in our church. I know parents, there are times you have to take them out and bring them back in. But it reminds me of a couple little things that I'll comment on at the beginning. First was a story maybe you've heard. A woman came up to Metropolitan Anthony Bloom of blessed memory and said to him, "Your Grace, because of all the noisy children in the church, I cannot pray." And he said to her, "Don't worry. When you truly learn how to pray, the children won't be bothering you anymore." But even more than that, is our desire to actually just love the children in our church, not to escape their noises with our prayer somehow. I was watching. One of the things I love hearing about people who visit our church is they'll say, "I don't know which kid belongs to which family." You know? I actually remember when we first started coming here, different combinations of us would come to Vespers and they would even say, "Who's married to who? We don't want to go down that path." But with the children, it's very sweet because it does show, like, we love the children here. This is a place for them to be taken care of and protected. One of my friends at the end of one of our youth camps said to the youth, "You're not just the future of the church, you are the church. Our children aren't just like fledgling church members. They're full members of the body of Christ, and so they belong here, right here with us. That's why we not only have to learn how to tolerate them, but to accept them and love them in the midst of the congregation." It's one of the things I love that's frustratingly wonderful about the Orthodox Church, this church service. Everyone belongs here. You know, the whole family should be here together. So, just a few little thoughts about the importance of having children in our churches. Today we hear the gospel reading from Matthew. Did I drop my pencil? No. In which our Lord gives the parable of the talents. And this really doesn't have anything to do with being a good financial investor, but more to do with what we do with what has been given to us. We have to remember when we're reading the gospel, who's speaking, to whom they're speaking of, and of what they're speaking. And in this story, again, it's important for us to remember the Lord spoke this parable. So already we know he's not trying to provide something that's literalistic. He's trying to do something that's didactic. He's trying to make a point, just like anyone who's telling a story. Like a parent who's trying to come up with an example, you never find the perfect metaphor, you know, when you're trying to explain something to a child or another person. But the Lord is just full of parables because he knows we remember these stories and they hit close to home. And in this one, we hear about a wealthy homeowner, landowner, who's about to go on a trip and gives various talents, a type of money, you know, a significant sum of money, to a few different of his servants. And a couple of them put it to good use and multiply, investing it well. The other one hides it away and ends up getting in trouble for not being a good steward of his talent. And so I want to talk a little bit about this gospel reading today. When thinking of this teaching of our Lord, these passages come to mind for me. Whatever you do, do it heartily or with all your heart, as to the Lord and not to men. It's from Colossians 3. I also remember a couple passages from Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, offering what you have to God. And to do so according to our ability. Later in Romans 12, having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. It reminds me of the simplicity with which we must approach life at times. We can't give something other than what we have, so we need to learn how to cheerfully, joyfully, gratefully, and willingly give what we do have. Have you ever been jealous of someone? You know, they have an ability other than what you have. You wish you could give what they have to give, so that you wouldn't have to give what you do, or that, I don't know, you could escape the responsibility somehow. And the reality is, that person has gifts and abilities that God has given them. May they use it to God's glory. I need to come to accept the abundance and the limitation of what I've been given and use that to the glory of God. Accept it and live simply and give what I can. Reminds me of a little story I heard once. A priest was giving a lecture and he said something about some spiritual teacher who was teaching his disciples, when you're doing something, do that thing. Like, when you're cooking, cook. When you're reading, read. When you're praying, pray. When you're talking with someone, talk with that person. We live in a day and age of divided attention, so, you know. And so one of his disciples came out and caught him eating breakfast and reading the newspaper and was scandalized. And he said, "What? What are you doing? I thought you were supposed to, when you're eating breakfast, you eat breakfast." And he said, "Well, yeah, when I eat breakfast and read the newspaper, I eat breakfast and read the newspaper." So, can't take ourselves too seriously. But the talents that you've been given are not only specific resources that you have to distribute, but the freedom that you have. This is at the core of what our talents are. Not even necessarily the getting focused on the specific thing that we have to give, but the freedom that we have to use the resources that we've been given. At any moment, the implication of this is that whatever we're doing, we should strive to find value in it and to do it to the best of our ability. And ultimately, the best of our ability is when we learn to strive to glorify God in all that we're doing. If I'm doing something, then it usually means that it's worth doing. I constantly tell people this in confession and counsel. If you're ever doing anything, it means that you think that it's worth doing. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it. Even if you've deceived yourself into thinking that you don't think it's that important, well, you're doing it anyway. So you do find value in it. So Unfortunately, we often live with it like an anything but this mentality. Or when I just get this over with mentality. And our life becomes a string of activities that we're trying to get over with so that we can move on to something better. But we will discover that if we cannot find meaning in what we're doing now, any sense of reprieve that we have will be seen as a kind of escape from doing what we know we must, and therefore even our rest becomes dissatisfying and disingenuous. For example, when you're always working to get through to the weekend either itself becomes dissatisfying, a letdown, or too fleeting, not long enough. But if we apply ourselves to whatever activity that is at hand, constantly saying, you know I love these words, thank God, glory to thee our God, glory to thee, and glory to God for all things, and really mean it. You have to try to say these things like we're not just like we're trying to convince ourselves of it, but that like we actually mean it. And if you're struggling to mean it, then that's where faith comes into play and gives you a little strength. The Lord intercedes for us in our weakness. Then we find that we will not only be able to endure all things, but that the ability we have to love can be exercised in everything that we do. For love never falls subject to necessity. And this means that love never says, I have to do anything. Love never says, I have to. Rather, love says, I can and I will whatever lies before me. So this is an important part of the teaching I'm trying to give you today. That love never says, I have to, but I can and I will. Because love is the ultimate freedom. And begrudging resistance is another kind of slavery. It makes us think that we're all victims of the opportunities that are given to us by God or the universe or something like that. But ultimately given to us by God to learn and to grow and to be faithful and to care for others. The reality is that we don't have to do anything. Everything that we do, we choose to do. And some might say, what about my autonomic system, Father? You know, well, that's a different topic. Thank God for that. You know, how your heart beats and you breathe and things like that. But everything we do, we choose to do. We need to learn to admit this. For example, you say, I have to get out of bed by 7:30 in the morning to make it to church school on time. Do you really have to? Well, on occasion, we've proven that we don't have to. By sleeping in a little bit, by hitting the snooze or accidentally turning off the alarm, things like that happen. But when we say we have to, it means I desire to. This is important to me. I'm making a choice to do it. People say, I have to be at work by 9. No, you don't. Unless you want to get fired, you know, or get a strike or whatever they do, then that's true. You do need to be there at 9. You've chosen to be there by 9 because you value the work that you do and the recompense you get for it, the compensation for the work that you do. You say, I have to feed my kids. My wife and I occasionally say, do you guys have to eat every day? You know that story. But do we have to feed our kids? Well, not as often as they want to be fed. But we feed them because it's good. It's nourishing for them. We care for them. We want them to grow and to be provided for and to appreciate this life that they've been given. And so on. Do I have to go to church? Well, I would say yes, but do I have to? I mean, but it's a choice. You know, you choose to. Anything that you put a firm conviction in, you play a little game with yourself and you shift it into this sense of necessity. But what we need to do is shift back from a sense of necessity to a sense of freedom. I'm not doing it because someone told me to. I'm being instructed to. It's expected of me, merely. I mean, that's something. That's better than nothing. But even better is because it's I desire it. It's good for me. I have the freedom to do it because I love being at church. I love providing for my family. That's why I do it. I love investing in my coworkers and having conversations with them and never quite knowing what's going to happen next. So when we say that I have to do something, it really means that I have a firm conviction that this is really important. Therefore, I'm going to bind myself to this as an obligation. It means that I really find value in doing it. And I should do it regardless of how I feel. So what are the things then that we accomplish regardless of how we feel? I'd like you to do a little exercise this week and just think about it. What are the things that I'm tempted to say or that I automatically say, I have to do? I have to do this. I have to. And then try to shift your mindset a little bit to, well, I'll get to it. I'm going to do this. But see how many things in your life are set up there as a result of choices that you've made. It's important to practice a little introspection and to get to know ourselves in this way. Take the time to consider these things this week and understand that anytime you tell yourself, I have to do this, you're actually expressing value in it rather than mere routine or obligation, because our routines and our obligations are built around the things that we believe in and we find value in doing. So perhaps then to express this value, we should make a subtle change. Rather than repeatedly saying, I have to do this or that, I have to go to the store, I have to pick up my kids, I have to take out the trash, I have to catch up on emails, I have to spend time reading, I have to pray, and so on, we should say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to, or better, I am doing this. I am doing this. This language of necessity binds us to the sense that we're fated to fulfill an endless list of tasks that have been set before us. And this kind of fatalism makes us perpetual victims. And victims become angry and resentful and frustrated and even hateful. So this, the language and the mindset of ability, I can, I will, liberates us from this slavery to necessity. And it grants us the freedom to do whatever lies before us willingly to the glory of God. So this week I'm going to encourage you to break free from the slavery of necessity and discover the inherent freedom you have to do what lies before you. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Not merely to impress others or to appease yourself, but to the glory of God. We heard a beautiful epistle reading today from St. Paul. And it goes like this. I'll repeat it because it's helpful. And we'll conclude. Working together with him, with Christ, we entreat you not to accept the grace of God in vain, for he says, at the acceptable time I have listened to you and helped you on the day of salvation. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry, but as servants of God, we commend, we freely offer ourselves in every way. And he bears witness to this. Through endurance, he's not complaining. In afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watching, hunger, by purity, knowledge, forbearance, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. You see the golden thread through this, the willingness to do God's will. We're treated as impostors, and yet as true. As unknown, and yet well known. As dying, and behold we live, and as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful and always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. Welcome to the world of both and in the Orthodox faith. Joy and sorrow, rest and effort, activity and passivity, and so on. What a powerful witness to a life lived in adversity and in freedom that St. Paul has given us. The freedom to do God's will now, for now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. When we're faithful with a little, we'll be entrusted with much. Ultimately, the kingdom of God and all that is good, every virtue, and above all, to freely love. But if we live in fear and negligence, the little freedom that we have will be taken away, for we will have given it away. So, beloved in Christ, then, let's free ourselves from this false sense of slavery to necessity, and instead do what we can, what we must do. For when we freely love, we freely act. And at the height of our freedom is the ability to do the will of God and to love our family and our neighbor and even our enemy, even as ourselves. Thank God. Glory to thee, our God. Glory to thee. And glory to God for all things. Amen.
Blessed be the name.